online at www.kaytfm.com. The heart and soul of Central Louisiana. Here's Alexandria's Mayor Jeff Hall concerning Governor John Bel Edwards' proclamation to stay at home.
Now, just give you a brief update on what's going on with the governor's order to stay at home. And what does that mean? What it means is that we're taking what we were doing as a result of the virus and the infections that we were having and the rate of infection that we were having to a new level of trying to find a way to combat this virus. Remember, there is no vaccination as for this virus, and there's actually no cure for it. But there are preventive things that we can do, and we've been talking about those things hygienically as to what we can do with washing of hands, sneezing, and coughing. That bacteria can survive 24 hours without even being inside of the body. And therefore, if it's around from droplets, from a sneeze or whatever, and you put your hand in that spot 24 hours later, is still active enough to infect you. So we need you to just be very, very careful and cognizant of the fact that it's a very infectious situation that we're dealing with. What has happened, the governor issued that order, and as of 5 o'clock today, it will begin to be enforced. And all non-essential businesses, they're asking to stay home and not function. And you can go to the governor's website as well as our site and see the various businesses that they have reference to. Business is complicated. It's not so specific as to what's there, but you still be able to get food, to get the things that's essential to life. Certain things is going to be open. The city of Alexandria is definitely essential. So we have different departments that may not be operational fully, but we will be operational for the city of Alexandria. So therefore, we have to take drastic actions. And the next 4 days, as the governor pointed out on yesterday, are critical for us. So we have to take drastic action to step up our separation, our social distancing efforts. We've got to be more successful at it. Therefore, he asks that we go to a model of staying at home and not coming out and being infected or getting others infected, because it's possible for us to have the virus and not even have the symptoms and know it and still can carry it. So we'll have to do that to minimize that number, because the more we're infected, the more strain we put on our medical healthcare people. And right now they are strained to the maximum to try to keep those individuals and the resources in the hospitals there and working and taking care of those that's already sick, as opposed to a growing number of folk coming in from this infection. So we got to stop that, or we're going to overcapacitate our ability to deliver health care to people adequately. So we have to do something on our own, and that's what he's asking us to do. Only essential businesses shall be operating. But the city of Alexandria, you already know that the transit system was working and is still going to be working, as far as we know right now, until further notice. The utility systems are still operational, and they will continue to be operational until further notice. What you do know is that we are not opening the lobby at the utility office, and you can handle the business via the drive-up lanes to help you move and pay your bill or do whatever business you need to handle with the utility office itself. If you need to drop a payment off, you certainly can drop it off in our drop box. Certainly no cash, but our drop box is at the entrance door at the utility office downtown. So that's definitely going to be opening. We will not be administering disconnects at this particular time because of the hardship and the situation that we're in right now. So we are not doing any disconnects for non-pay as it relates to your bill and what have you until further notice. And we will notify you when we will begin that process again. Now, as far as parks and recreation, that's been shut down. We're not encouraging people to go out and gather. If you notice, the governor's orders have gone from a 50 people maximum to a 10 person maximum. And certainly that's going to minimize the need to go out and participate. We need to be very careful because we have to be cognizant and respectful of the fact that the more we together, the more possibility it can be passed on. And we have got to change that number and minimize that number as soon as possible, which is why the governor has put this stay-at-home order into motion at this particular time. And again, we are supporting him on this. We are in contact with our local leaders as relate to police jury, other municipalities like the city of Pineville and other municipalities, as well as the DA and the sheriff's office. And we are working in concert to stay in step and let everybody know what's going on. All of the convention center, places of entertainment at the community centers on the Alexandria responsible side has been closed. It's not open to serve anybody at this particular time. So that's pretty much it. And I just want to end that part of what you let me share with is that, first of all, we're going to have to get really, really serious and really embed ourselves into what the governor is asking us to do. We're going to have to be focused. We're going to have to be determined. And we're going to be asking for all of your cooperation. And we know we can do this. We can get our way through this thing, but it's going to take some effort of everybody being involved. The sooner we can begin our recovery, the better it's going to be for everybody. So I leave you with that. And if you should have any questions about anything, I do want you to know you can always call on us, and we'll be glad to share whatever information we have. Thank you.
The proud, honorable men and women of our military are sacrificing their lives and their families for our freedom. Please take time to remember and pray for our men and women fighting overseas. This salute courtesy of J&J Construction for all of your residential and commercial contracting needs. 318-422-7986. That's J&J Construction on the air saluting our troops.
In Mark chapter 4, you have it where you stand, and we will look at verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and he said, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? You may be seated. Thank you, young man. I want to talk about stormy weather. Since we've been having so many storms in our city in Florida, every time you look around, it's a new storm right now. And I thought tonight would be a very good time to talk about some other storms. Stormy weather. Lena Horne was quite famous for the song Stormy Weather. I don't know why there are no stars in the sky. When I was a child, I heard my father say to me, Son, I know you all think Little Horn was great with stormy weather, but you should have heard Ethel Waters singing Stormy Weather. So Lena Horne was a highly light-colored woman, a beautiful complexion, and they promoted her. But Effa Waters was a dark complexion, and in those days, they elevated the high light-skinned people. So they made Effa Waters more of a maid in a lot of the movies. But he said, but when Effa Waters would step out on stage with that high-pitched contralto voice and sing Stormy Weather, the house would go crazy. And I asked my dad, I said, why? He said, well, Lena Horne was singing it because she was pretty and she had a beautiful voice. But Effa Waters sang it because she caught hell. And that's a difference. When you have experienced the storm, when you know what it's like to be hungry, you can sing it from the heart. Praise the Lord. Stormy Weather is one of those popular songs that seems to still be among us, but it came out of hard times and slavery. The times for the black man were difficult. We say that we have hard times now, but we really don't know nothing about hard times. And they taught me in school that the spirituals were nothing but sad music, singing about a relationship with God. But out of the spirituals came blues, which is another sad relationship with one another. Well, if your man didn't come home last night, you couldn't sing that in church. But you could sing in church Steal Away. But not My Man Didn't Come Home. So that became blues. And out of the blues came jazz. And jazz is nothing but blues and music pepped up with a little beat to it. But nobody can define jazz. When white people heard jazz, they heard black folk playing that stuff, they call it jackass music. I'm just teaching you a little bit about black music. But when it started getting popular, they stopped calling it jackass music and called it jazz. Nobody can really define jazz. And then out of the jazz came gospel. A young man named Thomas Dorsey, who played for Ma Rainey and Bessie Smith. And Ma Rainey and Bessie Smith were popular in the rag towns and in the Storyvilles, but then Thomas Dorsey played for them. But when he got saved, he wrote his precious song called Precious Lord. And he's the godfather of gospel music because he took spirituals and a little jazz and mixed it together and gave us what we call gospel. So when you think about Stormy Weather, it's one of those classics that came out of hard times and suffering. Whether you know it or not, every day you live in stormy weather. And isn't it amazing that of all of the scientific knowledge that we have acquired, out of all the nuclear power that man has possessed, he can't do nothing with a storm. I mean, we're in a scientific age where man can go to the moon and pick up rocks and talk on the telephone to somebody and go there next door and get on the internet and talk to somebody and email somebody. But all of this knowledge, we can't do nothing with a storm. It looked like somebody would create something with these meteorologists now. Look like they ought to be able to get in the eye of a storm and break up the storm, but they're telling you all we can tell you is which way it's going. And the best thing for you to do is get out of town. It's amazing that man who brags and brags about how powerful he so little and so helpless in the hands of nature that he said he can dominate the world and he control the sea and he control the wind and he sent light to school and now we got electricity, but he can't do nothing with a storm. So you will have a storm forever. Now you can get all the good luck charms you want to and wear it around your neck and get all the horseshoes and say that keeps you from having bad luck. You can get all the rabbit foot and wear that in your pocket. You can get all the crab claws from Reverend Dodo. And, but let me tell you something, trouble and storms are coming in your life. You can drink all the liquor you want, but trouble gonna swim right through it. You cannot get away from storms. Stormy weather. I'm gonna tell you about some storms that I already noticed in the house. One of the storms that they tell me that's around is called a hurricane. Now, hurricane is a storm that just blow a whole lot of wind. And it will tear up, but it tear up with a whole lot of wind. And I know that there are some church folk who like hurricane. Because all they do is blow wind. Have you seen some people in the church? All they do is keep up a lot of talk. And that wind will tear up anything. Oh, if God could control that mouth of ours. You know, everything wear on us but our tongue. Folk, eyes get dim, step get short, mind get feeble, but you ain't never heard nobody tongue wearing out. Oh, they sick on the bed, lying on everybody. Child, I call you to tell you about the ladies. Man, he never got old and straightened out. I mean, they just talk, and blow wind. And if there's a wind in your church, if somebody is keeping up a whole lot of mess, I got news for you. That's Miss Hurricane. And that's Mr. Hurricane. And you know, women gonna always talk. Now, don't get mad at me, women, but you never stop women from talking. Amen. I mean, that's how the church got tore up to start with. They tore up the church talking. It's talking about somebody got a little more money than I got. Amen. And that's how deacons came in the church. They were created in a mess to keep out of mess. Your deacon is an armor bearer, not a pall bearer. And the women and the widow got to fussing and they tore up the church talking. And I don't get all upset when I see women talking, but it sure enough make me look funny and out of my eyes that somebody want a man talk more than women. You know, one time a man, he needed some new teeth and he went to see a doctor. The doctor decided to give him some new teeth and he prescribed and gave him his new teeth. Then the next time, after he got his new teeth, he was just talking. Everybody wanna know, since he got a new set of teeth, why he talk so much? Finally, he went back to the doctor, and the doctor wanted to examine his mouth, and he was just talking. And the doctor noticed, he said, well, let me see, why you talk so much? He looked in his mouth and said, oh, I know what I did. I gave you the wrong set of teeth. I gave you a woman's set. So when you see a man talking a whole lot, you better check his mouth. That's what you call a hurricane. That another storm storm in the church is called a tornado. Now, a tornado, it doesn't blow in like a hurricane, but it's known for tearing up things. And I don't know about you, but I've seen some folk in the church that love tearing up stuff. I don't care what you put them in, they're tearing up. They just tear up everything. They can't work with nobody. But if you're a child of God, you can work with anybody. What's so special about a tornado is that you can't predict which way it's going. You say it's going on this side of town, and the next thing you look around, it's turning, and it's going in another direction. Now, I know some tornadoes in the church because there's so many two-faced folks. And some folk are always grinning in your face, acting like they're your friend, and then they get behind your back and talk about you like a dog. I want you to know that's a tornado. Look at your neighbor and say, I hope you're not a tornado. Unpredictable. Don't know which way to go. They sing it one Sunday and mad the next Sunday. Unpredictable. They give it one Sunday and won't give the next Sunday. Come to church one Sunday and the next day they lie around in the bed. Unpredictable tornadoes. Another thing in the church is called a dust storm. Now, dust storm doesn't tear up nothing. It just make everything dirty. Dust will get all in your car. Dust. I ain't ready yet. But get all in your motor and tear out the motor. Dust! I don't care when a dust storm comes to your city. You can close up all the windows, close up all the doors, and dust will get in anyhow. When you're sitting around some dusty folk, I don't care how good you try to live, if they dusty, it'll rub off on you. Dusty. Just love keeping up mess. And you know one thing about a dust storm, when a dust storm leaves the city, it's just as hard to clean up when it leaves as it is when it's in town. So when some folk leave your church, it's just as hard trying to straighten it back out. Because they leave mess. I'm not through yet. I got one more I want to tell you about. I know you're looking at me funny tonight, but look at your neighbor and say, oh, you dusty. Oh! God help me, I want to preach a little here tonight. Mud storm is called an ice storm. What you call a snowstorm. Now, snowstorm, here's the way it works. It comes in sneaky. You never know when snow falling. If you're not looking, it'll just slip up on you. Have you been sleeping in the house and wake up and look out the window and can't get out? It slipped up on you. And I know there's some snow folk in the church. They'll slip up on you. They don't ever tell you who they are. They'll ease up on you. Smiling, acting like they're your best friend and trying to get in your business. Coming over your house, talking about, I got a word of knowledge for you. And already been asking folk about you. Am I right about it? Some people don't do nothing to sneak up on you. You better watch folk who smile in your face. They're trying to sneak up on you. You better watch folk who call you their buddy. They're trying to sneak up on you. You better watch folk going around calling you sister and calling you brother. They're trying to get in your business. Nothing by snow, it'll freeze up everything. Some folk are cold. I don't in some icebox churches and snowball on the pastor. I'm telling you, some cold churches. Some folk you can't get an amen out of them if you try to beat it out of them. Some folk are so cold and hard, you can't get a smile out of them. It's a shame that you can't get a smile out of some folk without putting a clothes hanging in their mouth. They mean, cold, indifferent, won't speak, ungrateful, cold. Have you all ever been in some snow churches? How many of y'all ever been in some ice churches? I mean, you can't say nothing in the church. I tell you, I love humor. This man one time, he went to church. He had on an old raggedy suit. And the usher told him, you can't come in here look like that. He went back out. And he came back with no suit on and just had on a shirt and pants. She said, you can't come in here like that. He said, well, what's wrong with me? She said, well, you're in this church. You got to have on a necktie or a bow tie. So the man went outdoors and he got in some jumping cables and tied them around his neck and walked up. She said, where are you going? He said, I got on a necktie. She said, you can come in, but don't start nothing. Oh! Somebody need to start something in here. Somebody need to say amen. Oh, somebody ought to say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't like no cold icebox church. If God been good, you ought to say so. If God had brought you through something, you ought to say so. God didn't let you go through all your suffering for nothing. You ought to say so. If somebody can't stand you shouting, shout all over and tell them you want an amen pew. We're living in stormy weather. Let me tell you something about the text tonight. I'm just getting to my text, but I'll be through in a minute. Jesus was telling the disciples, let's go over on the other side. He had been speaking, teaching on one side, but now he's getting on the Sea of Galilee and going over on the other side. And I'm going to stop here and say, we need some folk like that who don't mind going over on the other side. Now, some church folk like to stay on their side, but you know we got to learn how to go over on the He tells the disciples, get in the ship. Now, what I see here, when the disciples got on this ship, Jesus went down in the bottom of the ship and went to sleep. And while Jesus was asleep, the old devil wrapped himself up in the four winds, in the garments of the four winds, and went right on skipping across the streets of the universe, dancing across the waves, and thought he could run beside the ship and turn it over. But he forgot who was on board. When the storm rose and tried to swallow up the disciple, the Bible said, water got in the boat. And I come by to tell you tonight, I don't care how good you live, water is going to get in your boat. You can be a disciple, you can be a child of God, but water will get in your boat. The same thing that's trying to drown you will sometimes get in your boat. But don't worry, when water get in your boat, it's a lesson in that. Why did Jesus let his disciple get in the storm? Why did he lead them out there? I want to tell you. Jesus knew that storm was coming, but he led them out there anyhow. That's to tell us tonight, no matter how good you live as a Christian, you will get in trouble following Jesus. Now, some of these mushroom religions popping up all over the land, fooling folk, talking about prosperity, that you won't have no trouble. But I come by to tell you, prosperity is not having houses, cars, and clothes. Prosperity is learning how to be content with what you have.
to tell you something. Nobody can guarantee you won't have no trouble. You can be a Christian and get in a storm following God. Some folks say you can't get sick when you're a Christian, but you need to read the Bible. Some folks say you can't lose your house when you're a Christian, but you need to read the Bible. Jesus said that foxes have homes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head, but Jesus was not unhappy. You got to learn that when you follow Jesus, you're going to get in trouble. Now, when they got in trouble, the storm rose and water got in the boat. Jesus was down there in the ship, sleep, and a storm on his children. Have you ever been in a situation where it looked like God wouldn't sleep on you? I don't know about you, but sometimes look like I've been in a situation and look like God wouldn't sleep on me. You look for him, you call him, you pray, and you didn't get no answer. Why was he sleeping on me? I think the reason why Jesus went to sleep, he went to sleep because he was secure. When folk are insecure, you can't sleep. Jesus was an example of how Christians ought to be. When storm come, go to sleep. Don't be walking the floor all night. Go on to sleep. Don't worry about what people are trying to do to you. Go to sleep. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, when you're in a storm, go to sleep. Let God help. He able. And since God can handle it, you ought to go to sleep. Don't be insecure. I'm disturbed about Christians who can't get their rest and saying they're trusting in God. Jesus letting you know you can rest when you know who you are and whose you are. When I know I'm a child of God, you can't keep me up all night. When I know I'm living right, you can't keep me up all night. When I come in and speak to you, no matter what you've been doing to me, let the neighbor know I've been sleeping. Jesus went to sleep because he was showing his divinity as well as his humanity. His humanity was that he's man of the very man and God of the very God. Oh, praise the Lord. You and I have been in theology. We know that the church split up in the third century over the identity of Christ. Was he fully God and fully man? Am I right about it? I got news for you. He was not part man and part God. He was God and man. And you can see it right here in this text when Jesus went to sleep. Because as a man, he was born as a baby, crying like all other babies. But as a God, the angels put on a Christmas concert and said, joy to the world. As a man, he got tired and sat on Jacob's well. As a God, he told a woman, go call your husband. As a man, he went to the grave of Lazarus and cried. As a God, he said, Lazarus, get up. As a man, he went to a wedding because he was invited to a party. As a God, he turned water into wine. Am I right about it? As a man, he went up on a mountain to pray. But as God, he walked out on the water. As a man, he took a little boy to lunch. As a God, he made a fish market and a bakery shop. As a man, he hung on the cross and died. As a God, he got up with man and God. So as a man, he went to sleep But as a God, he got up and said, peace be still. I wish some church folk would learn how to be human and spiritual. Some of you all are so heavenly minded, you ain't no earthly good. All you talk about is heaven, 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 heaven. Not heaven, but heaven, heaven, heaven. I don't want to see you every time I speak to you. Don't you know how to say good evening? Man, some of these church folk are religious fanatics. They're so spiritual, they don't know how to be human. And I'm so tired of you sanctified saints. The singer going around talking about Jesus is my boyfriend. Quit going around acting so holy. You know you need a man. Oh, I didn't mean to step on nobody. That's how come you need so much church. You need a man. Some of y'all wearing a dress way down to the floor, burning up, and won't wear no makeup. And some of y'all need some makeup. That's what you call giving God a helping hand. Ain't nothing wrong with putting on a little makeup. You can be a Christian and have a little weed hair. Ain't nothing wrong with some music we play. Some church folk are so holy. My Lord. Now what I look like going to see a girl and I want to hug her singing Precious Lord. I need to be singing I love you truly. You don't need to be going to see a woman talking about Amazing Grace. You got to learn how to sing the right song for the right occasion. Nothing wrong with being human as long as you know how far to go. He was mad and gone on that ship. And Jesus went to sleep on that ship while he was asleep. The old devil got started. Isn't that the way life is? When things are going good, they started off calm and peaceful, but then the old enemy rose up. How do you know some people are your friend? Until a storm comes. A storm will come in your life to let you know who with you. People are hypocritical. They will smile in your face and say, I'll be with you through thick and thin. And when it gets thick, they'll thin out. But a storm will let you know who your friends are. I know we both have been in some storms. And we found out who were our true members. But God will allow you to go through a storm to show you some folk are not your friend. Oh, and then a storm takes away some trash. Sometimes a storm will move some stuff. Sometimes God will send a storm in your life to move away some folk who don't mean you no good. Oh, and thank God the storm moves some folk. People don't like to be around you when you're down and out. People don't like to be around you when you need them. And you need some storms to find out who with you and to move some folk who don't mean you no good. Oh, Lord, Jesus was at the bottom of the ship. Now, I wonder to myself why he slept in all that storm. Looked like to me, with all of that hollering and that blowing, Jesus could have heard it. The Bible says he was sound asleep. Look like to me, with all that screaming his disciples were doing, why didn't he wake up and just kept right on sleeping? But I think Jesus was letting us know something tonight. If you want him in your life, there are two things you got to make sure you know. First of all, you got to have him on board. A storm is coming in your life, but what are you going to do about it? You ought to have him on board before it comes. Now, Christians can go through the same thing a sinner can go through, but won't commit suicide. And the reason why I'm not going to kill myself is because of who I got on board. People might be losing jobs tonight, but a true child of God will walk out with a pink slip saying, that's all right. I see a job around the corner because I got somebody on board. People might try to destroy your character and it might hurt you to your heart, but you won't go under because I got somebody on board. Do you have him tonight on your ship? Secondly, I believe that Jesus slept that night because he wanted them to learn what trust is. Sometimes you got to be made to trust. Trust is something we have to learn how to do. And the only way we're going to learn in America how to trust God, there has to be a 911. We put God out of schools, and we took God out of everything. But in 911, I saw all politicians joining hands, singing, we shall overcome, and talking about trusting in God. It took a disaster to bring the country together. And sometimes it takes storms in our life to teach us how to trust in God. You don't know how to trust in God until your money gets low. You don't know how to trust in God until you don't have no job. You really don't know what real trust is like until you don't have no friend. And when you find out tonight that you have nobody but Jesus, you find out that's enough. Because if you want a miracle, you got to wake him up. Ain't God all right? The Lord's standing right there. He knows what you're going through, but you got to wake him up. Ain't God all right? Call on him, and he will answer. He didn't move until they called on him. You can say you got faith, but you got to call on him. You can say you believe us a God, but you got to call on him. And when they called on him, he woke up and got up out of sleep. And when Jesus woke up and got up out of his sleep, look what Jesus did. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Lamb of God. Jesus, the way maker. Jesus, my bread and a star on land. Jesus woke up and wiped the sleep from his eyes and looked out at the wind and looked out at the lightning and looked like I can imagine in my mind. He said to the lightning, boy, stick your tongue back in your mouth, and told the wind, get on back in the garage of eternity and shut the door down, and pull the waves, lie down and behave yourself, and summon it all up and said, peace, be still, and God all right. And the wind went on in the garage of eternity, and the lightning stuck his tongue in his mouth, and the waves began to lie. because the wind and waves talks back to me. I said, Fleming, we had to hush when we heard his voice. When we heard his voice, it was God's voice that said, let there be. And it was God's voice that said, peace be still.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.